three iconic Australians experience firsthand what it takes to save a life.
Oh my gosh.
Terrifying.
I have no idea what I'm about to do.
The Hospital in the Deep End starts 5th of March on SBS On Demand.
You're listening to SBS News.
2 years after Russia's opposition leader, Alexei Navalny, died in an Arctic penal colony, his supporters gathered at his grave in Moscow earlier this week, risking retribution to mourn the man and his vision. The anniversary comes as the UK and European allies released findings he was likely killed with a frog toxin. His widow, Yulia Navalnaya, had this to say in response.
Я обещала, что буду продолжать эту борьбу.
I promised that I would continue this fight. I promised that we would learn the truth. And I will do everything to ensure that Vladimir Putin and everyone involved are punished.
His widow and supporters around the world are continuing his political resistance. Peter Kuzman is the Australian representative for Navalny's Anti-Corruption Foundation.
Millions of people deserve a much better life than what they're having under Putin. The Putin regime is only interested in its own longevity.
The Kremlin has a long history of attempting to stifle dissent beyond its own borders. Yulia Yemelyanova, a former volunteer at Navalny's St. Petersburg headquarters, is the latest to face extradition to Russia from Kazakhstan under what human rights groups believe are fabricated charges. This is Andrew Witherford from Amnesty International Australia.
Given her activities in Navalny's foundation, we would fear for her well-being if she was returned to Russia.
4 years on from Russia's full-scale invasion, experts like Robert Horvath, a specialist on Russian politics at La Trobe University, say resistance from inside the country is slim.
In theory, there are a multiplicity of parties in Russia. Most of those are so-called systemic parties that are closely controlled by the regime. They all support Putin, they all support the war.
Amnesty International's Andrew Witherford again.
It's a very oppressive system. A number of media outlets, newspapers, television stations have been shut down over the last 20 years. It's estimated that there would be at least 1,000 people in prison who are essentially prisoners of conscience.
Because of this threat, experts say most prominent opposition figures live in exile. 15 of those have formed a new platform to the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, designed to amplify democratic Russian voices. Participants include Mikhail Khodorkovsky, an exiled Russian businessman who was once the country's richest person, a former member of the Russian Parliament, Dmitry Gudkov, Nadia Tolikonnikova, the co-founder of feminist group Pussy Riot, and Vladimir Kara-Murza, a former political prisoner who survived 2 suspected poisoning attempts. 5 seats are also reserved for representatives of Russia's indigenous and minority communities. Robert Horvath again.
On one level, this is a good thing. It provides a platform for some very significant members of the Russian opposition. This platform is also problematic because of the way that it excludes the most important organization of Russian Democrats, which is Alexei Navalny's Anti-Corruption Foundation.
Petra Bayer, the president of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, told SBS the Assembly wants to make sure that cutting ties with the Kremlin does not mean cutting ties with Russian society altogether, and the platform is not designed to represent a holistic or exhaustive spectrum of Russia's opposition. Russia is due to hold its legislative elections by late September 2026, elections considered by various international observers to be neither free or fair. That assessment is disputed in a statement to SBS from the Russian embassy. Jennifer Scherer, SBS News.